In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Antary,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
Saint Cecilia, all God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Remember, the tortoise and the hare is that the retreat is not over until it's over, right? Which means run the race until you break the tape. Well, often happens that the most choice signal graces are conferred on those individuals that persevere until the last minute. So God, in his divine providence and his love and his bounty, could be bestowing upon you the greatest graces this morning, if you're open. If you're open. I would say not to squander the many graces that God wants to give you in this time of retreat, this time of great blessings. Happens sometimes during the holy hour, an Ignatian holy hour. An hour for St. Ignatius is, 65 minutes, not 59, is that God will give you the most graces the last minute or two. So, even as such that you're floundering up to this point, if you can give the Lord 100% this morning, this could still be a huge success in your life. God accepts the latecomers, he does. No? He accepts the prodigal sons, huh? He accepted the good thief. So, remember Moses, when he had his arms uplifted, they won the battle. When the arms started to droop, then the Amalekites were winning. So keep those arms on high. Okay, after the presentation, we'll expose the Blessed Sacrament. That will be your last holy hour. We'll have the Blessed Sacrament exposed. If we have any penitent stragglers, I could maybe be available for about 45 minutes. And then we will terminate with the benediction, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we will have the imposition of the scapulars. So that's our menu today, our spiritual menu today. Okay, my presentation this morning will be divided into two parts. First will be, I want to give you some ideas on perseverance. Then I'd like to give you your last contemplation, meditation, which will be related to the greatest miracle, which would be, of course, the resurrection of Christ. So we'll end, the last note in this retreat will be Alleluia. Amen?
Amen.
John Paul II says, we are Alleluia people. You Californians, you don't know what the word Harlem means. We New Yorkers, we know what Harlem means. Harlem means abject poverty in the Bronx, not too far from Yankee Stadium, no? John Paul II visited Harlem and he said to the people, don't forget that we are Easter people, no? In one of the poorest sections in the country. So we are Hallelujah, people. Hallelujah. Okay, perseverance. Jesus said, by your patience and perseverance, you will save your souls. Those are the words of Christ. By your patience and perseverance, you will save your souls. St. Augustine says, to persevere for a day, okay. For a week, okay. For a month, okay. But to persevere your whole life, not that easy, huh? In the vicissitudes of the human predicament, sometimes it's difficult to persevere in the tough times. No? Maybe you heard of Vince Lombardi, no? When the going gets tough, the tough get going, huh? I like that, no? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So when the going gets tough, don't throw in the towel. But persevere. So we have to have tools to persevere. So the first suggestion I'd like to make is you have to make the firm commitment right now that you're going to be faithful to your holy hour. Invite you to write this down, the next 75 years of your life. I'm sorry, I made a mistake, the next 80 years of your life, okay? That's a hyperbolic expression, which means until the end, persevere to the end. Your daily holy hour, second point, your daily holy hour is not 43 minutes, but 65 minutes, okay? Don't cut corners. Don't shortchange the Lord. Don't be miserly. Don't be an Ebenezer Scrooge with God, okay? Remember Scrooge? Don't give the minimum, give the max. God cannot be outdone in generosity, right? So give the Lord that time. So to guarantee or to secure the perseverance in the holy hour, you all have to have a spiritual director. We've been listening to Teresa of Avila the whole time. Teresa of Avila had spiritual direction. She didn't, we wouldn't be listening to what we're listening in the refectory. We wouldn't have probably this convent, or the convent down the road of the Carmelites. Accountability is good because St. John of the Cross says, if you have yourself as a spiritual director, you have an idiot as a guide, okay? That's a little bit of sarcastic, but he's saying you can't, a blind person cannot lead himself. You'll both fall into the pit. So if you have spiritual direction, you talk about prayer, and your director says, how's your holy hour going? And you say, I didn't do it. Why? Because I'm lazy. Is that good? Mm-hmm. I'm lazy. Soy flojo. Flojo. Flojon. Okay? So you have to come to terms with that, and that's very embarrassing, right? And either you're going to give up spiritual direction, or you're going to try to meet the demands of spiritual direction. But if you don't have spiritual direction, probably you're not going to persevere. I'd be surprised. Yeah, maybe a couple months. You get wind in your sails at the end of retreat. But once you hit a snag and desolation, you're going to throw in the towel and go back to being Miss Mediocre. Miss Mediocre. Miss Lukewarm. Next is this. In the chapel, in the sacristy to my right, there's a plaque. It says, "Say this Mass as if it were your first Mass. Say the Mass as if it were your last Mass. Say this Mass as if it were your only Mass." Wow. Tough medicine, huh? When you go to Mass as if it were your first Mass. Go to Mass as if it were your last Mass. Go to Mass as if it were your only Mass. Amen? As the poet says, in the absence of the beloved, once the beloved comes, the beloved is all the more appreciated. As they say in poetry. in the absence of the Eucharist, right, we appreciate it all the more. But if you go to a parish like our parish, where there's such an abundance of Masses, you kind of take it for granted, no? Yeah, if I don't go to Sunday, if I don't go to the 6:15 Mass, if you come late, for one Mass, you come early for the following Mass. So you're always in the right, huh? What would happen if, like Juan Diego, you had to walk 11 miles, huh? Remember Juan Diego? You walk 11 miles from House of Juan Bernardino to the La Villa. Wow. So try to upgrade your reception of the sacraments. Receive the Eucharist as well as receive reconciliation. When you go, go as if you thought, this is going to be my last communion, my last confession, and I'm going to be judged on that. Wow. I think your sacramental reception is going to skyrocket. Skyrocket the graces, because I've said this many times, it's called dispositive grace. You receive graces in proportion or commensurate with the disposition of your soul when you receive the Eucharist. We can be spoiled. Yeah. Next is try to always grow in your love and devotion to Mary. Try to always make a concerted, generous effort to grow in your devotion to Mary. And there's a lot of literature out there. I'd like to suggest two books. One is written by a doctor of the church. His name is Saint Alphonsus Liguori. He wrote The Glories of Mary. Considered by some the greatest book ever written on the Blessed Mother in the history of the world. Any educated Catholic who does not have his hands in that, or at least part of that, is not an educated Catholic. If you open up that book, right away you just feel the grace of God just emanating from it. This man was a great saint. His name is Saint Alphonsus Maria Liguori. And parallel to one of the most famous American novelists, his name is Mark Twain. You've heard of him probably, huh? Mark Twain wrote Tom Sawyer, right? Huckleberry Finn. But probably don't know the greatest work written by Mark Twain, whose name really was Samuel Clemens, a little bit of trivia there, is Joan of Arc. Yeah, Saint Joan of Arc. The greatest work of Saint Alphonsus is The Glories of Mary. That's the book that took him about 10 years to write. I mean, he wrote so much. I think he might be the most prolific writer in the Catholic Church. He or maybe Augustine. They're probably vying for first place, no? But The Glories of Mary. You really want to fall in love with Mary. You can't help to fall in love with Mary by reading The Glories of Mary. And the second Marian book I would encourage you to buy and read is written by, it's not a doctor of the church or a father of the church. Reason why is because that person is still living and you can't have a doctor or father of the church if he's still living. And the author of that book is the one that's speaking to you right now, okay? I've never tried to canonize myself yet. And I never will, no? Let's leave that to the Pope once I'm dead, buried, and shellacked, okay? It's a consecration of Mary through the mysteries of the Rosary. I invite you to purchase that book and to consecrate yourself to Mary through that style. In a couple of weeks in Santa Ana, where I was Wednesday night, we'll be consecrating a pretty big group of Hispanics to Mary through the contemplation of the mysteries of the Rosary. So with those two books on Mary, you can really, I really believe, grow in your love and devotion to Mary. One written by a spiritual giant, another one written by a little pygmy. Nieto di Nanano. You like that? Nieto di Nanano. Okay. Okay. You know what that means? It means a grandchild of a midget. No. Okay, then the next would be to also, if you like, to buy the book I wrote, Roadmap to Heaven. What that is that's a plan of life. And that's what you usually do at the end of the retreat, is you try to compose for yourself a plan of life, and I wrote it out for you. You just have to read and put into practice, okay? That book was published about 2.5 months ago by 10 publishers, and it gives you three plans of life, professional, chronological, and a plan of life for teenagers, okay? Okay, teenagers. I wrote at the very end, giving an acronym on five things that teenagers can do to have a more orderly life. Amen? Amen. So after at the end of the retreat, Mary will have some of those copies available, okay? Each one of those will be sold for $1,000. I was able to lower the price from the editor a little bit. Okay. A Roadmap to Heaven. Consecration to Mary through the Mysteries of the Rosary, Sophia Press. I have two publishers. I've got Tan and Sophia, so my books are published by two different, pretty prominent publishers. No? Pray for me because I have a lot of other things that are on the back burner now, so that I'll be able to publish other stuff in the near future, I hope. Yeah.
Have you ever translated
the Marian book to Spanish? You know, it's already translated, but can I be honest with you?
Sure.
Thank you. As a whole, the publishers in this country are a little bit fearful because as a whole, the Hispanics don't read as much And it's just a reality, no? The Americans as a whole are pretty avid readers, no? But the problem is, say for example, I publish it and they publish, say, 5,000 copies, and you only have 500 people that buy it, then they lose thousands of bucks. So they have a right to know who's going to be their buyers, no? If there was a real market and you were to call 10 publisher and you had, 50 people calling every day for 15 days and saying, we're all, we're Hispanics, but we live in Beverly Hills, we have a lot of money. I and my friends were one of 12 kids, and we're all, then they would probably publish it because they have to make money. And as a whole, we have Hispanics here, and most Hispanics here, you're readers, but a lot of your friends, they're just not readers. Some even don't even know how to read, no? And others, they prefer to be on their phone and watching TV or, forming a good habit of reading. You'd be surprised how few people have that. Hmm? But it's huge. If some people here know how to, if you like to read, that's huge. And Teresa of Avila said that she would not allow a nun to come in who couldn't read because she really believed by reading you can autodidactic. You can educate yourself by reading good books. No? I don't know about here on the West Coast, but when I went to college, they would give me an hour talk and you have to study 4 hours. Maybe the colleges here are different than on the East Coast, no? Here an hour, and then you read Shakespeare for 4 hours. You got to do your own. They would give you the outline, then you do your own reading, no? And I think that's an adult approach to education, no? Give the basic ideas, the tools, and you use the tools. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And the last thing I'd like to say, then we'll get into our contemplation, is don't underestimate this last point. Beg the Lord for a joyful heart and a joyful disposition. If we maintain a spirit of joy, a lot of temptations disappear. Because the devil thrives on sad people. On sad saps, they say in New York. Huh? Are you a sad sap? Okay. But if you're a joyful person, even apostolically, you can do a lot of good. You've got wind in your sails. But you always look like you're just, you're coming from a cemetery. You got a carne vinagre, as the Pope says. You got a vinegar face. The devil takes advantage of that. But recognize that joy does not come from creation, but it comes from the Creator. Okay? Joy does not come from things. Joy comes from the Creator of all things. Joy does not come from the material realm, but the realm of the Spirit. Joy does not come from possessing things, but allowing God to possess you. Amen?
Amen.
Pretty poetic, huh? But very true. If you're focusing on God, He's the one that gives you true joy. Amen? And that's a bridge into our contemplation. I feel it's very opportune that you end your retreat by taking a walk with Jesus Christ. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
Do you have your walking boots on? His feet were made for walking? Okay, so you have your walking boots on. You going to walk from here to Pico Rivera, you think? Or Downey? Okay, you have to walk about 7 miles. And then you have to go back. You have to walk 14 miles. Did you have your oatmeal this morning? You're going to take a walk, but you're not going to walk alone. You'd be walking with He who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So your contemplation is going to be Luke chapter 24. Don't go to Luke chapter 25 because there's only 24 chapters, okay? It is the disciples on the road to Emmaus, one of my favorites. So this is probably in my top five. I love this passage. And I end the exercise, the program, with this passage. Now there's so much that can be done, but this is part of the great, this is part of the miracle series, because the greatest miracle I said yesterday was that of Lazarus, but after Lazarus, the greatest miracle was Jesus is being risen from the dead. There's only one resurrection. Technically, with Lazarus, that's called reanimation. You know why? Because he's going to die again. But Jesus, there's only one resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again. Amen? Hallelujah. So you got your walking boots on? You got your Nike? Okay. Okay, man, you're walking. What time is it? Probably about 3 o'clock. Mid-afternoon. Mercy hour, right? Taking a walk. But you know, they're walking away from the church. Any people walk away from the church today? Hello? They say for every one person that comes to RCA, now 7 are leaving the church. No? So there's a real implosion. It's imploding, not exploding. These are the people that are walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from the church. Common phenomena today. And they're walking, kind of dragging their feet. They're disgruntled, kind of angry, bitter, confused, disoriented, and head in the clouds. Somewhat cynical, skeptical, kind of want to throw the towel in. It's the purpose of life. All their hopes were dashed because they thought that this man that was going to save them just nailed to the cross. And some wive tales. These ladies rose from the dead. Come on, wake up and smell the coffee. No one's going to rise from the dead. So they're in a kind of in a bad state. They're walking in a cloud of doom, so to speak. You know, we've all gone through that, haven't we? Hello? It's called desolation. You ever heard the word desolation? They're going through desolation. Pretty dense. Says they're talking, but what are they doing? They're talking, but they're arguing. Arguing. Debating. He says one thing, he says, no, it's that, not that way. They're not in a good state. And all of a sudden, this man seems to pop out of the woodwork. This foreigner. This pilgrim, this incognito, this anonymous individual seems to just pop out of the woodwork, comes out of nowhere. And he starts to walk with them. And they look, and there are not two of them, there are three of them walking. And this man, he's walking by next to them, and they start to feel better. They start to feel better. They don't know this man, but they just feel kind of like a quiet, peaceful, gentle, loving presence with this foreigner. Then he catches up to them and he's walking at their pace. And he asks a very simple question. What are you guys talking about? Good question, huh? And they look at him. They say, are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about Jesus of Nazareth? And he says, what things? As if he didn't know about himself, huh? What things? Then what happens is Jesus allows them to dig deep in the inner recesses of their souls and just, as we say in New York, spill their guts. They just desahogarse in Spanish. Just spill their guts. Get it all out. In other words, express their desolation. You have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to do that. Desolation, excuse my New York English, spill your guts, just get it all out. Talk to the Lord. Hold nothing back. Don't be inhibited. Don't be fearful. Don't be mousy. Get it out. And he's allowing them to talk a mile a minute. And basically, we don't have everything what they say, but basically they're saying, Jesus seemed to fail us. You know, Jesus is walking with them, listen to them. That would have been the essence of their conversation. And he's listening. And what really captivates them is that this man, he's the best listener that they've ever met in their world, in their life. Never met anyone who's listened better than them. Are you listening to me now? Okay. Are you? Okay. Best listener. Then after they finish, what happens? They finish getting it all out, then he launches into a conversation. And he's explaining all the verses that refer to him in the Old Testament. Isaiah, the suffering servant. Psalm 22 that speaks about the passion of Christ. All these verses of the Old Testament. And they are dumbfounded. Not only is this man a good listener, but he's even a better speaker. And they never met anyone who knew the Bible better than this man. This man is a Bible expert. Maybe they're thinking, maybe he went to the University of Jerusalem to learn about the Bible, huh? And they are just captivated. And they started, when they started walking, they were kind of walking like this. Now they're walking like this. Like the sunflowers, remember the sunflowers? Yeah. There's a sunflower, they're no longer drooping their heads, but their heads are raised on high. Why? Because they got the Son of God with them, right? The Son of God with them. I like that, huh? Then they arrive at their destination. It looks like he has an appointment down the road a little bit. Got to meet someone down the road. And what they say is, hey, stay with us. Stay with us because the sun is going down. Stay with us because the day is coming to an end. Stay with us because the darkness is descending upon us. You who are the light of the world, stay with us. Give us light. So he wanted to be invited. He respects their free will, but he wants to be invited. And then after they invite him, he opened up the door to this little house, una casita, little house. Try to imagine it, little cottage. Small, the table there. Table a little bit dusty, they gotta get the dust off the table. And there are four chairs. Why four chairs? Friend? One for the pilgrim, two for those that are walking. The fourth chair is for who?
For us.
For you, yeah. Do you want to sit down there? Do you want to be there? Or are you too busy? You have another engagement, right? So they sit down, and they're just captivated by the countenance, the poise, the humility, the intelligence, the joy that this person written. They never met anyone like this before. They want to be with him. It's like you people, after you spend these 5 days, you want to stay with the Lord, huh? Hello? You want to spend time with the Lord. And then the key point of this encounter is apparently there's some bread. They brought some bread. And see the bread sitting on the table there. Then this man looks at the bread and he picks up the bread and he takes the bread. He blesses it. He breaks it. And he gives it. Four verbs in the present tense, right? He takes, blesses, breaks, and gives. And then, in that moment, it's like scales fall from their eyes and they recognize that that is really Jesus Christ, who they didn't recognize up to that point. How often have we had scales in our eyes to not recognize Jesus Christ in our lives? He's been walking with us. He's been trying to talk to us, trying to listen to us. And we have been like Bartimaeus. We have been like Bartimaeus and like the deaf mute. We've been deaf and blind and mute. Thanks be to God that we've done those meditations and we've asked for sight and hearing and speech. Amen?
Amen.
And it's almost as if they want to hug him, but he disappears. He's gone. But is he really gone? Some commentators say that that was the second Mass that Jesus celebrated. First Mass was at the Last Supper. Second Mass is that. Do you know when that is? That's Easter Sunday night. The full-blown Paschal mystery, which is Passion, Death, and Resurrection. And he disappears. Now, after traveling 7 miles, what would you do? Maybe go to McDonald's, get a Big Mac and some fries and a milkshake, huh? Because you're hungry, huh? And you have to take a nap, huh? Not them. What do they do? Right away they return. So they're walking 14 miles. That's why I asked. You have your boots on. You have your hiking gear. And when they're returning, they're less tired than when they started walking because they have encountered Christ. And they zoom back to Jerusalem. They go back to church. They go back to church. And they find the apostles and they're filled with joy. And they say, didn't our hearts burn within us? Their hearts were on fire. Didn't their hearts burn within us as he opened up sacred scripture and he broke the bread? And they recount how they encountered Christ on the way to Emmaus. So this is our message. A summary of the whole message of what we've been doing the past 5 days. We've been begging for intimate knowledge of Jesus. that we love Him more ardently, our hearts on fire with love for Christ. That we know Christ, we love Christ. We want to follow Christ. We want to bring Christ to others. And no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So here's the key. Here's the sequence. Here's the dynamism of this whole retreat. If we want to experience this abundant joy in our lives, this is what we have to do. They were walking without Christ, they were in desolation. If you ever try to live your life without Christ, you're going to experience a profound desolation and depression. You are. We want to experience the joy of the Lord, the joy of the risen Lord. So we have to walk with Jesus. We have to talk to Jesus. We have to listen to Jesus. We have to invite Jesus. We have to receive Jesus. Then we have to bring Jesus to the whole world. If that is going to be your decision in this retreat, all of you people are on the highway to heaven. And you're going to be bringing a lot of people with you on the highway to heaven. So let's ask the Blessed Mother, who had so much joy when she said yes to Christ in the Annunciation, but she had so much joy when she encountered the risen Lord Jesus, that Mary will give us great joy. Let's pray that one day, all of us, will be a jewel in the crown of Mary, contemplating the Blessed Trinity for all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now.